Hello, I am here today with Tim Gibson. Tim Gibson is the director of sales for Hanes Brands. How are you today, Tim?
I'm good, Cole. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you explain to people a little bit about what you do in your daily job?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a director of sales in what Hanes Brands calls the printwear channel. So the printwear channel is this vertical that we sell into where you all live. So screen printers, ASI companies, decorators, brands, and so forth. So different division than our retail, so to speak. So I manage the field-based sales team for Hanes Brands, which is Hanes, Champion, Alternative Apparel, and Comfort Wash.
Yeah, and you've been in the industry long before even joining Hanes, correct?
Yeah, long time.
Yeah.
30 plus years. Probably longer than I can imagine. But yeah, it's been great. I still love it.
So tell me a little bit about how Hanes is pivoting during this. Are you already distributing masks or are masks coming?
We started early on in this pandemic. Actually, the White House reached out to us directly. FEMA, the White House Task Force, reached out to Hanes to see if it would be something that we would be able to do for them. Early on, there was obviously an immediate need for PPE for frontline workers. So we did. We developed a design and got it approved by the FDA and started producing masks all within a week. All this happened very quickly. So we joined a consortium of other manufacturers in our industry to help with the production load, but it was all a mask that we designed quickly for the FDA and started producing for them. So we weren't making them available in to the public and commercializing it. The goal obviously was to get these masks in the hands of people that needed them the most. So that's what we focused on. We've since, ramped up capacity and we've been able to fill most of the needs for the government. So we are now making a mask available for commercialization. So we now have a mask that we're distributing in this channel as of late, just in the last week or so, we've made that available to people.
What type of mask is it? Is it like a 3-ply or what did you guys decide?
Yeah. It's a 3-ply mask. There's a certain fabric that we use, which is basically our Xtemp fabric. So it has a antimicrobial element to it. So that was another reason that made it attractive to FEMA. So it's antimicrobial. It's a 3-ply mask, 100% cotton. It's a great mask. It's got a great fit. And it's been doing very well. So we are also developing now, just for screen printers, a version of the mask that you'll be able to load onto a screen pallet. So it's got openings at the ends, makes it easier to load. So you can also insert a filter into it. So that mask will be coming, I would say end of June, we'll be putting that out.
Oh, wow. So that'll be big enough to put like on a sleeve board?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, that's smart. Yeah, because printing on these things has become a bit of a nightmare, especially the ones that are shaped. You end up having to find one little spot you can make flat. I know Action Engineering created like a hold down that you can click into your rock or your M&R, but then you're spending $1,000 or whatever on these little hold downs in the middle of your shop making no money.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've seen a lot, obviously have a lot of friends that are printers, and it's been interesting to see all the different ways people have found to decorate the mask, because there's variables, right? Some people don't want to use plastisol because they don't want to have to breathe through that, or they don't want that over the mouth. Some people don't want to use spray tack to hold them down because that's also got an odor to it.
Right.
Even on the DTG front, you can't really use pre-treat because pre-treat is a toxic substance already. But you can do wipes, you can do light colors and just use water-based ink, and it's perfectly safe for DTG. But to do darks, you would need to pre-treat it, and that's not something you want to breathe either. So it's...
We've been playing with DTG doing a no pre-treat all white mask, and then whatever color they want, we're just printing it. But it looks not... great. It seems like the sublimated masks are currently doing pretty well, but
Yeah. And transfers. I see a lot of really cool transfers being done.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that we now basically all have t-shirts on our face and that for the next year, this is going to be...
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to another friend and it's become like the new socks, you know, or underwear or t-shirt for that matter. You know, you have your t-shirt drawer, your underwear drawer and sock drawer, and now you're going to have masks in your sock drawer, you know. So when you get ready in the morning, you're going to grab your socks and your mask. You know, it's going to become a consumable just like any other for who knows how long, you know.
Are you seeing a big drop across the Hanes brands for normal sales, you know, t-shirts, fleece, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone else, you know, in this specifically printwear channel, we've definitely seen a decrease just because a lot of y'all are closed and limited to be able to do business. So the demand definitely dropped. You know, I think where we've been fortunate as a company is that we have other divisions, right? So everybody still wears underwear and still wears bras and still wears socks, even during a pandemic. So fortunately for Hanes, we have a lot of other divisions that help prop up this one and help us to get through. And online sales, we've seen a very large increase in online sales for obvious reasons. But yeah, I mean, it's been a struggle. It's been tough for everybody to stay open, to keep people employed, as you know. And it's been difficult. So there's definitely been a drop, but we've been fortunate enough to have other avenues to continue to do business.
That's great. Yeah. The thing I've been seeing is that for print shops specifically, the higher the overhead and the bigger the payroll, the less likely they've been to stay open. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's tougher, right? The bigger you are, the bigger your payroll, the bigger your overhead, your space, your equipment leases, everything. I think for a lot of those folks, it's been difficult. I think a lot of them have moved to shorter staff, you know, fewer hours, have people come in. And you got to practice social distancing. That's the key, right? You don't want to endanger anybody. And having employees feel safe, even as they're slowly starting to reopen, even here in Texas, is that, you know, people are afraid to come to work. And some people, frankly, that are furloughed, you know, are doing better in that scenario than if they were to come back to work. So instead of putting themselves in danger and coming back to work, they're choosing to not. So it's a challenge. It's a huge challenge, you know, for some of these large print shops. But I feel like that most of them, hopefully, will get through this and have a plan to just kind of circumvent the current situation.
Yeah, we had an interesting thing when we were signing. We actually got our PPP loan. And so when we were signing it, we learned that our employees can't refuse to be rehired because then they would be taken off unemployment and not get the job with us. And reading that on that contract, I was like, oh, wow, they know that people will actually make less money by working because their unemployment might have given them $3,000 and they might have been making $10 an hour before. So it's a really bizarre situation where the unemployment pays a lot of people almost too well.
Yeah. And, thank God they have it, right? Thank God it was available because, you know, losing that amount of our workforce just in every industry, it's just devastating. But it's a challenge in our world and in the printing industry. And
is there any shops you've seen that kind of thrived under this pressure? And what were they doing that worked?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of shops thriving. It's really incredible to watch. And I get excited just because I love how entrepreneurial our industry is. And people just figure it out. And without naming some of them, there's been some really wonderful things going on, I think. And I think people were just quick. They were quick to make adjustments and quick to pivot and quick to market, you know, to market their services that they could still provide barring, you know, being open or closed. You know, some shops had to shut down. They weren't even allowed to come in. Some smaller shops move equipment to home, to their garage, and print from their garage. You know? Yeah. I've seen all kinds of amazing things. I've seen other printers helping other printers, which I love. I think the collaboration that's gone on since this started has just been fantastic. You know, you're a shop in a certain part of the country that's got a stay-at-home order, and you've got business, and you can't do it because you can't come to your shop. It's great that other shops in other parts of the country that maybe are open are doing that printing for you. So it's just really cool to see everybody help each other.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun to be talking to people who are doing a lot of the fundraising campaigns. How have you, as somebody who travels probably more than anyone I know, how are you dealing with not traveling and just trying to call up customers? Is it changing the relationship? Is it working?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, wow, this is the longest I've been home, like in my own house and there, in 8 years. Wow. 8 years, which is pretty crazy. But honestly, I mean, it's been nice, really. It gives you a chance to kind of pull back and just evaluate how you're doing things, how you're interacting with your team, how you're positioning your brand with customers remotely. You know, this is such a face-to-face kind of industry and relationship-driven. And I, frankly, I miss everybody. I want to give you guys all a hug when I see you. But that's been the hardest. But from a business standpoint, I think everybody's been just finding ways to make that work. We've been doing a lot of these. We've been doing a lot of virtual presentations, meetings, conversations. Early on, I mean, it's a difficult conversation as a sales leader to have your team calling customers and asking for business, right? Because you know you're struggling, right? And right. So I just want you to go check on people and just see how they're doing. You know, be there for them, be someone to talk to, help where you can if they need samples, if they need anything like that. Help that way, get involved on some of these fundraisers. Haynes has done quite a few fundraisers that we provided free shirts to some shops that were doing fundraisers just to help support. I mean, it's all you can do right now is be supportive and just help people the best you can. That's really the only thing you can do. So until we're able to travel again, it's going to be that way for a bit. But I feel like I've actually gotten closer even to some of my customers just because we've had these kind of conversations and just phone calls. How are you? You know, how's your family? How, you know, how are you getting through this? Are you able to sustain? Is there anything I can do to help? You know, those are more the conversations than anything else. It's not your traditional conversation that you might have in a sales type scenario. It's more just being a friend.
Mm-hmm. What have you been seeing on like the live event side? Are they expecting to be open and selling? Are they kind of just assuming they're not going to be selling merch for 4 months?
Are you referring to people that specialize in like live event decorating?
Yeah, like we work a lot with some marketing companies, and one of them is a live event marketing company that literally is going to have like zero sales for their entire quarter. And so have you heard anything about people preparing and actually buying inventory, or are people kind of too scared to buy inventory for live events?
You know, it's interesting. Again, seeing people that have pivoted and figured out a way around this and mm-hmm. instead of doing actual live events in person, I'm seeing a few people transitioning to virtual live events. Right. So I know that sounds crazy because it's counterintuitive as to what it's called as a live event, but allowing customers to design their own merch. Say you're Google, right? And you have all these people working remotely, but you still want to stay connected to them with branding. So you want to maybe put a kit together that has a hoodie and a hat and a drinkware item or something, a mask, whatever it may be. I'm seeing a lot of these kits being sent out to remote teams from a corporate level. And these companies that maybe normally do live event are facilitating the decorating piece of that.
That's
smart. So it's interactive as well. So the employee at home can go on and say, okay, I want this hoodie and I want this logo here, but I want this other logo up here. So I'm seeing some of those kinds of things, which is amazing.
For some of the brands that are underneath the Hanes umbrella, like Alternative or Champion, are we going to get the traditional, like, back to school new line, or are you guys not going to be doing that, maybe because there aren't conventions?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us, as far as mills go and manufacturers, I think a lot of us have either put off or postponed some of our launches. You know, some mills only do launches once a year anyway, so it's around the time of ISS or PPAI. Some other companies do mid-year, fall, spring, back to school. As it relates to Alternative is more of a retail brand. So not only do we have, you know, product in this channel, we also have a retail business to support, which is very seasonal. But again, because retail is pretty much shut down, you know, larger department stores are shut down. Some of our stores are shut down, even with Champion on a retail side. Yeah, there's no sense in launching new products at brick and mortar anyway. But what we are doing, I mean, we're still launching new products in all brands, actually, but it's more online based. So like Champion, for example, if you just go to champion.com, they do new drops at least once a month. There's a new drop of Champion. Alternative also has done some new drops. So it's business as usual from the creation standpoint and the product development. But it's definitely slow just because we don't need to, and there's nobody going to stores. So,
right.
But you know, again, I think we all try to be positive and hope that we'll get through this sooner than later. And I think the key for everybody, for all of us included, is be ready when we come out the other side. You know, I think the people that have been active during this and realizing that you don't want to just sit around and wait, because once the switch does come back on, you want to be prepared to handle that business. And I think that's the secret.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time and talking with me.
Yeah, you too, Cole. Always good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Well, have a good day.
All right. Take care. Bye.